I've hit this repeater with a HT inside my car, Manhattan, and gotten a readable signal out. When there's a ducting or a band opening, we do quite well with this repeater. Although sometimes there's a repeater in Connecticut that sometimes bleeds across to this one, and we get a problem. Oh, back to you.
I wonder if you heard about the Chinese radio. You know the Chinese radios, they have the Woodkin in TYG and the whole thing. I wonder if you, that one works.
Your audio is low, and I heard you, but I couldn't quite make out what you were saying. Just something about the Connecticut repeater or something.
Well, I know that you go. I'm gonna go back to have a cup of coffee and wake up a little bit. So I'm gonna do that. I'll talk to you later. Maybe it's another little treat tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, what's your final?
Okay, it sounded like you were signing. So you have a great day. 7-3, maybe, who knows, maybe we'll catch you again. 7-2-UZD, going clear. 7-3, have a great day.
7-3-2,
except for the RF getting into it.
but if there was a problem, a check engine light would go on. I don't think anything would beep. And sometimes the beep gets weak. Like right now, the beep sounds like it's a weaker beep, as if you're getting away from it rather than a full, strong beep. And when I raise and lower the back, it only beeps twice, so I don't think it's that beeper. But I know it's something in the back because we tried putting an HD there once, and then I couldn't reproduce it again. Whether it's VHF or UHF, it makes no difference. It beeps the same.
I don't know. And by the way, no, it doesn't have to, turn a light on because it may be something that is normally not monitored by the dashboard portion of the car.
All right, but nothing happens, and I was just driving like this for 4 years, so I'll just continue. No sense trying to put it on a computer to see what the computer would store in memory. It would just say X sensor picked up a fault condition, which really wouldn't tell you anything.
Yeah, if you got somebody who's got one, I would check it out. What do they call that, the ODB2 connector or something?
Yeah, something like that, whether you wanted a thing. When they brought the car on, when it was new, and I mentioned that the service manager, they gave me this, look, as if I was saying something from outer space.
There you got me.
But I guess you never heard of that happening before in a car.
Sherry, you're not the only one with that problem, WA2NLL.
And not in a long time, by the way.
Hi, good morning, Rich. Who else has that problem?
Some guy on the internet posted November 24th, 2011. My Lexus beeps 8 times. Do you have a 350?
No, I have the 400, the hybrid, but it's the same design car. The funny thing is, when I went to, try it with someone else's Lexus at one of the ham fests, his car didn't beep. What year is this car?
UA2NLL. That's interesting. Where is the original question? That's the question. Why is my Lexus 350 beeping 8 times? He doesn't say what year it is, but I don't know if anybody's got a good answer. Let me give it back to Steve, and I will read.
Obviously an idiosyncrasy with the car for some reason.
Yeah, but I went to another car at a ham fest that also had a radio in it. He said never had it. Put my HT in the rear where I had it on my car, and it didn't make the beeping. And it also beeps whether the car is on or off. The car can be completely turned off, and it'll beep. So it's strange. Because I searched the internet once before then, I guess maybe 2 years ago, and never found anything. I don't know how they're going to have this parade on Eastern Parkway in a week with this construction still going on. I don't think they'll get it finished in time.
I don't know, Jerry. This was supposed to 2011, and it seems like it could be some sort of detection circuitry that the RF is getting into, and I don't know, but why don't you just try calling Lexus? Call the factory, ask them to have the factory zone rep, the factory service zone rep contact you. He's the guy who's got the answer, probably.
Well, when I brought into service when the car was new, I mentioned it to them. I don't know, zone rep, and the service said they never heard of it and gave me this strange look. What's he talking about? So I don't know. It doesn't really bother me. It's been there for 8 years, 4 years. The only funny thing is lately I've been driving past, I hear the beep, so I start looking at my car. No indicators are on. And yesterday, I looked, even the two-way radio was off. So it was surprising me that it was beeping. I must have passed a taxi cab with somebody transmitting. Steve.
KCQ WYQ.
Hey, get me on that one. And WYQ, I'm going to duck out of here. I'm almost at my first stop. Rich, good morning, by the way. I don't mean to be ignoring you. WYQ, why don't you pick it up? I'm going to sneak out of here. WB2CSE.
WB2CSE. Okay, the guy with the call problem. Did it happen before you put the radio in?
That I don't know, because the radio was put in like within a month. But it doesn't have to be my radio. It could be anybody else transmitting with a radio near my car, whether my car is on or off. So I don't think it's anything to do with my... Or with an HC standing near the car. So it really has nothing to do with the radio being installed in the car, unless something with the antennas being picked up where the antenna wire goes, and it's... But it's all shielded cable, that's something picking up with that. But the, you know, I put the radio in like 4 years ago, a month after the car was purchased. Well, less than a month, so I really couldn't tell you if it happened before that. I don't remember. Go ahead, Rich, and then give it over to Michael. Yes, Rich is busy in his computer, so let's go ahead, KC2WYQ, again, so he reaches any X-Mobile.
Okay, you're probably dealing with a frequency problem. I think one of the frequency one of the frequency modulators in the car running at the same frequency your radio is.
Jerry, maybe you ought to talk to JD. Maybe he knows.
No, I've had it for 4 years. So just that it happened twice recently. When I wasn't using the radio, I started wondering this why I was getting more susceptible. So, man, I don't think, I don't think it's the frequency, because it happens on various different frequencies, whatever frequency it happens to be on. But it's only the first part, it beeps the 8 times, and I'm still transmitting, and the beeping goes away. It just makes it hard for me to be a jammer, because they'd recognize my signal if I didn't give my name with the beep of the microphone picks up in the background. Savage.
WA2NLL. Jerry, the guy you spoke to at the dealer, he's the service manager. In all probability, they're a service writer. And a lot of times they haven't heard of anything. When I had my 84 Accord and the bumpers started turning from black to white, they said, "We never heard of that before." Well, you know what? All of them turned from black to white. The plastic, the resin didn't hold up well in UV. And then when my roof started leaking, they said, "We never heard of that either." And they did that, too. They always say, "I never heard of that." Pick up the phone. Lexus must have, like, a concierge number or something. Call that number. Tell them you'd like to have the local service zone rep contact you about a problem. He basically is similar to what Steve K2SGT does for Subaru. He's like their main troubleshooter. And if there's a problem that's out there, he's probably heard of it. So I think that would be your best route. Michael, good morning, by the way.
Good morning, guys. Well, I have to go to 73. I have to go to work and take apart more electronic equipment. So with that, I will bid you guys further ado. Have a great day. KC2WYQ.
Are you taking apart a Lexus, Michael?
No, I'm taking apart electrical equipment, like computers, like VCRs, like cable boxes and stuff like that.
Okay, you have a good day, 73. Jerry?
Everything in cable boxes had to be returned to the cable company, since you really never purchased them, but a lot of people who just move out, they leave them and they're abandoned. But, so I don't know why Mike did not return back to Cablevision or whatever, even though they don't use those old boxes anymore. But what else is new? I picked up a 2-meter antenna that I have to put on the roof for a packet. And antenna cost me $20. The radio cost me $20. But I never really grounded the antenna on the vent pipe, so to get like 6-gauge wire to reach the ground rod, it's probably going to cost me more than both of them combined.
Yeah, copper is Very pricey. And 7-3, Michael, have a great day there. Yeah, copper's very pricey. What are you going to do?
So you drove all the way to Massachusetts to the Sam Fest. Now, did you stay overnight, or this was a one-day up and back?
No, I drove up Friday, stopped by the ARRL, and got stuck in a traffic jam where I went 5 miles in 60 minutes. I could work faster. And went to the flea market Saturday and left about 1 o'clock and got home about 6. It is a two-day event, Saturday and Sunday, but I don't think anyone's back to the flea market on Sunday. We just have seminars and had a banquet Saturday night that I didn't go to. Steve went to it, but I didn't, so I came home on Saturday. It wasn't worth staying the extra day to hear a few people talk that probably wouldn't interest me anyway. So I came back, you know, after the flea market part. And I just bought two other radios also, a VHF, UHF, a VHF and UHF commercial radio, 4 relays, and an old 7400, which the club had, a similar radio that I sold originally at one of the ham fests. I should have kept it, but I made it something strange with that other radio that I didn't want to use it to patch it, and I forgot what the reason was, why I didn't, but this radio should work for back at 2 meters. The other radio was only the two-band version of it. 146, 147, maybe they made three different models, I don't know. This radio covers the whole band, 144. And the reason I got it so cheap, no PL on the boat radio, so it's really worthless for repeaters. I said I'm going to use it on some place for packets, so that would make it perfect for $20.
Now, do you really need all this stuff? Is there any place in your house to walk?
No, I have to walk sideways to get into my den where this is, and now that my den air conditioner blew out, and you wondered if you wanted to have it removed yesterday, so now I gotta take it apart and see if the mister is bad or the maybe a little fuse that blew in it. But I have to figure out where I can walk. Now, that's the problem. I have too much junk, and I don't have enough time to bring the stuff to flea markets. I have to start bringing things and saying free. Now, they don't want to just put it in the dumpster in the corner somewhere. I hate throwing out things that somebody could use.
WH-1LL. Just bring it to the next Limewalk flea market and, you know, stick it up on the stage and have Bob sit there and sell it off, you know. Jerry, like, you can't live with all this stuff. I mean, I got rid of most of my excess computer baggage. I still have some stuff here, but not a lot of stuff that's really not usable anymore. I even went through my old CD and DVD drives and got rid of them because they're so cheap, and some of them worked, some of them didn't work. I didn't even remember which ones did what, so they all went. And that was it, you know. You accumulate all this stuff. Boy, I tell you, I'll go to the Belmore Flea Market every Sunday. Unfortunately, people tell me they actually get there the night before in order to ensure a good spot, or any spot for that matter.
That went up past Sunday. Yeah, I still have two 486 PS2, IBM PS2s in my attic. They're just sitting on the shelf there, and I'm just too lazy to take them down since they're sitting on the shelf. And some old Byte magazines from, but not the original, from the 70s that I should really take down and throw out. I think I got rid of all my old QSTs, you know, whatever doesn't fit on the shelf going across, I got rid of. I remember one time I got rid of all the small size QSTs and from that point and kept the large size. But now that QSTs are online, probably get rid of all of them. And I think I also have some PC World magazines up in the attic, too, but the attic things are on shelves and boxes, so they don't really bother me too much. It's the junk downstairs. A few more motherboards, a few bad motherboards, and other computer junk that I don't need. In fact, next go around, I'll tell you about this other computer that was given to me after I took the stuff out of it, off the hard drive, which I think I did today, where I have the flash drive with me. But it's was an interesting computer. I'm going to go around.
KF2YR mobile.
KF2YR recognized. Well, Jerry, I don't know what to tell you. Stuff and more stuff and more stuff. I told you, I got a whole bunch of
5 1/4-inch discs here, you know, if you want them with the holders and everything. Anyway, I got to get myself going there. I got somewhere I got to be this morning. So 73KF2YR, pick it up and then give it over to Jerry, WB2ZEX. This is WA2NLL, 73 guys.
Well, what I believe it was Jerry say, 73 to you. I'll stand by for a second. KF2YR mobile.
This is WB2ZEX. Good morning. Yeah, but so this computer was running Windows XP Pro Service Pack 3, Office 2007. Turned out to be a Pentium 3 733 with 512 memory. How is it running all that properly fast? I don't know. Yeah, KC2YFR again, 73X mobile.
All right, Jerry, I believe it is. Name here is Jim, Julia, India, Michael. I'm just about to get on the Cross Island Parkway at Belmont Racetrack. Live in Franklin Square and heading to the Work QTH, which is right on the Astoria Long Island City borderline. It's a beautiful morning we have here.
Somebody said traffic would be light, but it's not. I'm just about getting on the Manhattan Bridge. I have to go to the Lower East Side to work today, too. So I got like 5 minutes after I get on the bridge to be at my location.
I know I'm fairly close to the repeater site, but I am running an HT, an old Yaesu FT. What is this? A 530, I believe. Take a quick look here. Yeah, 530. And I have a diamond mag mount dual band antenna sitting on the transmission hump of the second row seat. I drive a Suburban. And it's fairly new with a nice paint job. And the last vehicle I had used a mag mount on the roof. The coax from blowing in the wind did a number on the clear coat, so in order to avoid any problems, I'm just leaving the antenna inside the vehicle. But hopefully I'm full quieting. I'm only running like a 1.5, I think. So if I need more power, please let me know.
Well, we know you're making it, but you're the first one I've ever heard that had a mobile antenna inside the car. I don't know if the transmission hump is metal to get the grounding, because usually it's carpeted. And second, wouldn't the antenna be too high unless you have the roof hatch open or the moon roof open? Wouldn't the antenna be too big and hit the roof of the car? Plus, I don't know how safe it is to have an antenna. It's only 1.5 watts. It's like having an HT. I guess the head is almost the same thing, but if you ran more power, you'd have a problem. But how long is the antenna? Is it hitting the roof?
No, it's not hitting the roof. Again, it's a Suburban, so there's, plenty of headroom. I mean, I'm 6'2", and there's probably, I probably have 3 or 4 inches of headroom in the vehicle myself. It's a dual band 5/8 wave diamond antenna. Center loaded, and as most antennas, most of the radiated energy is at the base of the antenna anyway, so it's not near my gray matter or my eyeballs to cause a problem. Being 5/8 wavelength doesn't really require a ground plane, so I don't know about the coupling. There is a slight bit of magnetic pull through the carpet, but unless it's using, I haven't thrown an SWR meter on it, maybe it uses the capacitance of the mag mount to help in the matching of the antenna to the coax. I'm not really sure, but it seems to do all right. Like I said, as long as I'm quieting into the repeater, I'm a happy camper. I make it usually from Long Island City if I just go to 3 watts, so.
All right. Okay. I ever heard that had it in the car. You probably can make a, you know, look like a trunk. I don't know if you have a trunk, but you wouldn't have a trunk before. Or clamp it to the roof bar or something like that. If you have a roof rack, they make clamps or mounts that will mount to that. So, or the side or the back of the car, I have mine, like a lip mount that goes on the hatch. Diamond makes one of those things too, so this way your antenna can be on permanently, and you probably eventually put a mobile on the car with that, you know, with an antenna like that, so if you want, rather than using the HD each time. As you know, you may have a problem, it's almost as bad as a microphone, but I mean, they will think it's definitely a cell phone if you're talking into an HD in your hand, unless you have a portable mic on it also, and that's all that's sticking up.
Yeah, I do use a speaker mic with it. Actually, it's an old Radio Shack. I have a few of these kicking around. I have a couple of these 530s. My wife has got a tech license, and my father-in-law has a tech license. The wife was actually helping my father-in-law study, and she grasped onto it quicker than he did, so... they took the test together and have sequential call signs. But, so at this time, he's deaf. He went deaf, so he doesn't participate any longer. And, so now I have two Yaesu 8500 dual band mobile rigs. And a couple of these 530 HTs. So, yeah, again, it's not the mount. It wasn't the mag mount that scratched up the vehicle, although if you let the coating on the bottom of it deteriorate, it does that also. It was actually just the cable, the coax from buffeting in the wind, just scratched the heck out of the clear coat. And look like heck, you know. And this is a late model 3/4 ton Suburban, a dark, beautiful dark metallic blue. I don't want the paint looking lousy on this. I mean, this thing costs more than the standard Corvette that was sitting on the showroom floor when I ordered this. I had this built to order, so it. It cost me a pretty penny, and I really want to keep it as nice as I can. Tula Fox 2, Yankee Radio.
KKF2YR, WP2ZX, so once again, on a permanent mount of some sort, you don't have to worry about the coax bouncing around and damaging the paint or things like that. Diamond, do you have roof racks on the car, or they do make an antenna? They do make a motorized roof rack mount, I think... Diamond or Gloss that makes it that would raise and lower the antenna automatically, you know, rotate to 90 degrees, you know, from horizontal to vertical, so you can lower it when you don't want it up and done remotely. But it also costs about, I think, $150,
$200. Yeah, well, this is too expensive. There, Jerry. One is I'm not drilling holes in this truck, and two is no matter how it's mounted, if I'm not drilling holes, the cable still has to, you know, lay against the paint and come through the door, and really, just not a feasible thing for the amount of time that I'm on VHF or UHF. So this works out fine. I mean, I'm sure I could hook the 8500 up and run 35 watts if I want to keep the antenna away from me. Suburban is an awful long vehicle. I could put the antenna 8 feet behind me and towards the rear of the cargo area. You know, it's three rows seats and then about 3.5 feet of cargo space between the last row and the tailgate. So I could certainly get a lot of distance between me and the antenna, a lot more than most people have in their cars.
All right, but you also have, you know, with the lip mounts, it runs with narrower cable. So it doesn't run, it runs like the RG-174 cable, which is very thin, so it goes through the doors without a problem. Okay, I'm at my destination, and I wasn't concerned about having to park here because I see the whole block is empty, just waiting for me to park my car. Looks like everything's reading to you, and I'm here. KCAF2YR, WB2ZX, normal beach.
Okay, very good, Jerry. Pleasure to meet you. Just real quick before you go, I heard you were talking about you have a lot of equipment and the other fellow was suggesting selling stuff off. Are there still local flea markets and stuff? I have been out of the hobby for somewhere between 8 and 10 years and just got back into it a couple of weeks ago. So haven't been all that active and just working on re-engineering a good loaded die call that I had for HF work in my property. But just curious about flea markets and ham fests or what have you. I'm always looking for some good used equipment, test equipment, what have you.
All right, the only two that I know coming up in the city or in near the city is Limewalk. This repeat is Ham Fest, which is an indoor one on October 28th. And the Hall of Science has one in Flushing Park next to the Hall of Science on the 13th or the 14th, whatever that Sunday is, let's see, 5, 6, 7, probably the 14th, I think it's October 14th in Flushing. So you got the Limewalk one on the 28th of October and the other one on the 14th. Nothing really in the New York area. There's plenty of them in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, but they're all like a nice drive to get to. That's the only problem. All right, I'm at my destination. Those are 73. KF2YR, WZX, Mobile Beach, New York.
Okay, thanks for the information. Again, pleasure to meet you, Jerry, and hopefully I'm sure we'll cross paths again on this repeater. 73, have a great day. WB2ZEX, I believe it was, KF2YR Mobile listening.
Queen Baker Victor, Rockland County, New York, listening to your feet. KQBV Mobile. KQBV Mobile listening to me.
W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. K2YO Mobile.
Good morning, WB2ZSC.
Hey, Steve, how you doing this morning?
Doing just peachy. Trying to head into the office after making a few stops.
Oh, gotcha. Got my first couple of calls done for the day. Now I got to run by the doctor's office. Got a full day planned today.
Something to do.
Now it keeps us from hanging out in the pool halls and bars.
Yep. Oh, excuse me, I know what you mean. Oh, haven't hung out in a pool hall or a bar in a long time.
You know, college football season opens next weekend, so opportunities abound. I'm a Iowa Hawkeye fan. There's a bunch of us together in the city, so that's my my one guilty pleasure.
Figured you'd be heading to the U.S. Open.
Well, I've never really got tennis. Didn't play it as a kid. Never really got into it. My dad was a huge tennis fan, played all his life, but just never really struck a chord for me. Deb's been, you know, she hates the U.S. Open because she's got to, you know, commute right across to the top of it, so that always creates problems for her.
No, didn't think her place was that close.
Well, no, her problem is she has to pass it, so she's got to slug her way past everybody trying to get to the stadium.
Take the Grand Central and just get off of Queens Boulevard.
Dick, coming up Denton Avenue and they're repairing potholes, so there's like loose asphalt all over the street. Sure, that's going to be stuck to the bottom of my car.
Yep, there you go.
One thing that I never quite understand is when, at what point did the patching crews just say, enough is enough, we're not going to patch this street anymore? You find certain kind of back alley streets, ones that aren't that used that much, usually industrial kind of streets. If you literally count, there could be 30 or 40 potholes in it.
When their boss stops paying them is when they stop paving them.
Yep, that's, everybody talks about we need to tighten up government and make it more efficient. Some of the simplest things would be just put some people out in the field that look at this stuff and say, no, this doesn't make sense anymore. Let's just knuckle under and do the right thing.
Yeah, well, repaving it sometimes is a smart move. You know, takes a little bit longer, but... W2OSR.
OSR acknowledged. I was actually proud of my village the other day. They, the water district wants to put in new water mains, and so they're actually tearing the street up for the water mains before they pave it. So the village was going to pave it and put the word out to everybody. The water company said, well, we need to replace the main. So the village said, okay, we'll pave it 4 months later after you guys get done. So they actually seem to have thought that one through. Bob, over to you. How you doing this morning? Pass it over to Steve.
Okay. Good morning, guys. Now you're talking about paving roads. Well, as usual, there was an election coming up in Glen Cove, and the incumbent mayor wanted to make himself look good for the election, so he hired this crew to come in to, quote, repave the roads in our community. What that meant was they blacktopped them. Now, some years later, the poor job is starting to show its signs of failure. This spot in front of my house that looks like the hide of an alligator.
Yeah. Well, they actually just repaved the road down at the end of my block, and they actually took the asphalt up and redid it correctly, it looks like, which is strange.
Yeah, they redid the street that my wife's office is on. about 2 years ago, and I was glad to see they did. They came in, scraped off probably 4 inches, and then put down 4 new inches. And I'm assuming all that stuff they scrape off is probably getting recycled or at least used as landfill somewhere. Bob?
Yeah, most of that stuff goes back to the plant where they make the asphalt and gets recycled. That's one of the advantages of using asphalt as a paving material. And, our roads, a couple of dips and valleys that need to be filled in and then be scraped down like what you're talking about, and then we get a good paving job on the street. Of course, anything's an improvement over what it was like when my mom and dad bought the house, when all there was mud out front. Stephen?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to watch the traffic here. Completely came to a stop for some reason. Also, Europe has an asphalt mixture that's much more durable than what we use in the U.S. Of course, that means, in the long run, fewer jobs.
Yeah, I've always wondered, coming from L.A., all of California uses concrete highways. And I've always wondered, why don't we do that? And I suspect it's jobsing because we never have done that as part of it. So, oh well. Well, just pulling up to the doctor's office. I will catch you guys later. K2Y is clear. Over to Bob.
Okay. Catch you later, Bernie. 73W2OSR is here. And Steve, Bernie did live here when the Northern State Parkway used to buckle every summer. Has something to do with temperature change and when they paved the road and if they put enough expansion strips in. Anywho, I am now where I was going, so I got to say 7-3 to you guys. One and all, have a good day. I don't know if there's any parking here at the place I'm trying to get into. This is W2OSR.
Okay, bye you all. WB2CSE.
W2OSR Mobile.
Hello, I see you're back. WB2CSE.
Yes, I am back for a short period of time. I'm now heading off to physical therapy. I had to go pick up a paint chip at a paint store.
Well, ooh, look at that. Are they taking a crane up the side of the Trade Center or down?
I would be inclined to think they would be taking it down since it's just about finished.
Yeah, I am perplexed because it they had two up there. There's still up two up there, and there's a third one on the side.
Who knows? Hopefully the guys that are moving the crane do.
One never knows. Make an interesting photograph, though.
I'm sure it would, but I don't think you're going to stop the car to take it.
Well, I could. It's just a matter of where I have to stop, but I don't have as good a view as they... right here is good. Anyway, I don't have the camera that I would use with me.
Yeah, you need the one with the 300 to 400 millimeter telephoto on it.
Well, I got two telephotos. I got a 35 to 105, which is not bad, and I have a 1200 millimeter telescope.
Oh, I'm sure the telescope would do it. Now, when I bought the camera, it's got a one lens built into the camera, covers from about, well, if he was shooting 35, would be the equivalent of 38 through, 400 and something. So, it's got a pretty wide range.
Yeah, the older camera had a 210 with a 2X converter, so... had plenty of room there.
Yeah, the only problem when you use a 2X converter is you better make sure you got lots of light.
Oh, yeah, usually outdoors bright light is fine, which it is now so far.
Yeah, when you throw a 2X converter on, you use between 1 and 2 f-stops. So, you know, your camera may shoot, say you're shooting at a certain f-stop, and you're actually shooting 2 f-stops smaller.
Yeah, you want to know something? It worked out okay, but when I bought the newer camera, newer being a relative term, I decided the 105 would be adequate.
When I worked in a camera store, the 100mm lens is what we call the portrait lens.
Well, there you go, taking a portrait of the Trade Center. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. I'm just pulling into the shop, and I got to take care of things.
All right, have a good day there. I will tell you, the telephoto came in handy when I was taking photographs of elk up in Rocky Mountain National Park. Take care, W2OSR.
BTCSE, bye.
And to ZUC Mobile, good morning, Bob.
Good morning, and I got to say goodbye right away because I'm here at physical therapy. This is W2OSR.
Okay, I did my physical, just left the gym. Have a good day. And to ZUC Mobile. KB2DPD and 2ZUC Mobile.
KD2AKX. AK1NS. How about you, Dave? AK1NS. KD2AKX. How about you, Dave?
BV Mobile, listening repeat. K2QBV Mobile, Rockland County, New York.
K2YO Mobile.
K2YO, W2QZ.
Hi, how are you doing this morning? Just out clearing up trouble calls, marking that minute till lunchtime.
Well, Bernie, lunchtime is a ways away. Even an early lunch is still an hour and a half to go. How's your summer been going? Right now I'm just off New Hyde Park Road in near the Northern Sea.
Oh, it's been a bloody mess. I knocked a tooth out, so I had 3 dental surgeries. We got in a car accident, lady ran into me at 40 miles an hour. So it's just been a general progression of doctor's appointments, it seems like. But we're having fun. Everybody, in the grand scheme of things, everybody's healthy and well, and that's really all we can ask for. How are you guys doing? You've been traveling around a lot this summer?
I don't do my traveling in the summertime. Since I'm retired, we do our traveling in the fall and in the winter or spring. Doing non-school times, of course. But, gee, I'm really sorry to hear first that you had a fight with your wife and you lost the tooth. You know, you really should antagonize her that way. But the car accident, gee, it's from the sound of it, it sounds like somebody ran into you.
Yeah, I was on New Hyde Park Road going northbound by the Catholic school there. And I was sitting at a stoplight, pulled up, stopped at the stoplight. Lady behind me never even slowed down. No squealer brake, nothing, just bam. So I got a feeling she was probably texting on her phone or she was distracted with something. She claims her foot got stuck on the accelerator, so not really sure what happened there. Yeah, I'm happy to see Deb's got a good right hand.
Actually, it was an old football injury from when I was about 10 years old, and finally just gave up the ghost and couldn't hold on. The tooth had been severely damaged. There was a big chunk of it missing. So, right around Christmas time, I should be ready to get the socket put in. Another 4 months after that, then they'll get me a new tooth. So, I don't get my my front teeth for Christmas this year. Maybe next year.
Hey, like that old song, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. I've had a couple of those implants. They really work well. Really work well. They ain't cheap, of course. Nothing ever is. But if it's done well, it will definitely do the job for you. Wow, just sitting there quietly at a light, just getting rammed in the can. That happened to me on the Staten Island Expressway, but it wasn't high speed like that. But no doubt, her eyes are off the road. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I actually had that happen to me on the Bell Parkway, and I was the guilty. I was the guy behind bumper-to-bumper traffic. Somebody gave me a call on the two-meter, or at least on the radio. I have a dual band, but I looked down to see what band it was, and in that fraction of a second, I ran maybe 5 miles an hour into the back of the car in front of me. Just distraction. And in spite of what we were talking about with ham radios, they are a distraction.
Well, I agree with you. It's ham radio operators the same way as policemen, firemen, service guys, anybody that uses a radio on the road. It's a challenge for all of us, and there are tons of distractions available in the car. I'll freely admit, when I was younger, I used to read books on the expressway. It was not a good idea. In fact, plane was a bad idea. But, you know, freeway was open, and there was nobody in front of me. But still, it's a bad idea. And, you know, you see gentlemen shaving, women putting their makeup on. There's a lot of distractions we can have behind the wheel, and they become deadly when you start adding speed to that.
Well, I have to admit, I don't put makeup on, I don't shave, I don't read in the car. Although there are even, you know, I have Sirius radio, and you look, you hear a song, gee, who's this group that's singing that? And you look down, and the text is scrolling on the display to tell you when the song was played, or who was singing it, or what the name is. So there are enough distractions in the car that's built into the car. And now, especially with the informational screen, one of the reasons I didn't get the GPS on a new car with the big display screen is they don't just put the GPS on it, but they make electronic displays of all your controls. So if you want to change the air conditioning fan speed, you have to hit, depending on the car, and I know on my son's Acura MDX, you have to hit AC, environment, AC, fan speed, and, you know, then you finally can go up and down instead of just turning a switch.
I have taken to, I leave my GPS turned off unless I specifically need it for routing or directions, because I found that just having it in my field of vision as it moves, rotates, turns, that it's a distraction. They teach us that your eyes should be scanning back and forth across the roadway, down to your control panel, across the roadway, you know, almost in a cycle. And I find that it's that thing, whatever that thing is, that catches your attention and holds your eye for a little bit too long is a problem. So I leave my GPS turned off unless I specifically need it for routing.
I assume you have it built into the dashboard of your car. If you also have your environmental controls and other controls built into the screen?
No, mine's an aftermarket GPS, so it's up on the dashboard. The one thing I do like about my car is the environmental stuff is down low, the radio and the temperature control and stuff, so it keeps it out of your field of vision.
We have have all mechanical controls, which is the way I like it. I do not like the electronic controls on the screen, which I find much more distracting on the road. W2QZ in the Mobile, just for keeping it honest. Right now, just heading south on the Meadowbrook Parkway. I should be in the car maybe 10 more minutes. I have to get go to the local jeweler and get a watch band size. I should be able to do that by pushing the pins out, but I never could figure out on the band how to do it without scratching it. Or I'll pay a guy $10 and he'll do it for me. We were in, I believe it was Ephesus, which I think is Turkey, or Greece, just on the borderline in Greece. And outside they had these booths, and I bought a very good-looking Rolex watch for 20 euros, which you can bet, of course, it's not a Rolex, but I do want to get a size.
Well, gee, maybe it was the economy version. I just had a funny thought about who writes you an OO ticket on your repeater if you... Never mind. I just pulled up here for my next stop. I need to get in and help people get their computers back behaving correctly. So I will catch you later. Have a wonderful afternoon. K2Y will be clear.
Landline, Bertie. I'll be back to you in a minute. A2IO, W2QZ.
K2QBV Mobile, Nanuet, New York, listening repeat. QBV Mobile.
How are you, Joel? K2QBV and 2EO.
Hello, Richard. How you feeling?
Actually, I'm feeling pretty good the past week or so. I don't know. I started doing work on radios again, which I haven't done since I got sick in June, so I'm feeling pretty good. Have you ever German shortwave AM FM radio by a company called WEGA? W-E-G-A. Working on one. It's a 6-2 job from the, I guess, the 60s.
No, never heard of that, but along the same lines. There was a guy talking on 20 meters yesterday about the radio they're going to buy or have that I never heard of before. I think it was a CB name, but it's not a CB. You ever hear of an Eagle?
I think so, yeah. Why, what about it?
They had two guys talking about it, and I was wondering what it was. I didn't ask. I wasn't in the CUSA. But I listen a lot. I'm always trying to work some new country. So it's something to look for figuring out. Actually, I got a new country today, a QSL card from Somalia. No ham radio operators there. They had a de-expedition there. So I got a QSL card today. Just only missing two.
Hey, Joel, very, very good. All right. I didn't think you were into really de-exing. I know you work your friends in Australia. I thought you more talk to your friends. I don't know. I know. Big into DXing because it's, you know, slam, bam, thank you, man, make the contact and go on. Same reason I don't care for contests. Well, I shouldn't say that. I do get into the, well, I will get into the VHF contest next weekend. I think it's next.
And to HRX, JB2DP.
To see how the system is working. Anyway, I've been working on this thing. It belongs to my friend Stuart, the attorney. He's doing some work for me, and I know this fellow since I'm like, I don't know, 11 years old, and we grew up here in Whitestone, and he lives over in Bay Terrace now. He's an attorney in Manhattan. He's doing some work for me, and he doesn't want to charge me, you know, so he said, but he called me up and he said, listen, I got this German shortwave AM/FM radio. He bought it. I think he bought it at a flea market or a garage sale. It was working, but not really working well. So I cleaned it up this morning, sprayed out the switches, cleaned the cabinet. The tubes all look good. They're all EL numbers, you know, the European numbers. The filter capacitors, there's Siemens on it. But somebody had turned some of the adjustments in there. I used a $1,700 service monitor to realign it, and it's working great.
Now, DPD didn't know we were on here. And he called a station that I know to be of another frequency. So, Jerry, if you're listening, N2HRX is on 130. Okay, Jerry?
Joel, I'm sorry about that. I turned the radio on and I had the volume low. So it was unintentional. Thank you.
Well, I know it's unintentional, but I know HRX and the other repeater. I drive enough. And Jerry, I collect the cards. I have just about everyone where every country works. But now we need to get a new one that comes up that's considered a new country. There were some good ones on. So I sent to the card. If I get it, I get it. Although the one on Somalia, I really want it. I guess in some of the countries, it's hello goodbye. But after doing it all the years, to sort of make a little collection out of them, I've never sent in the 4DXCC. So I don't have that. But I do it for myself. N2EO, K2QBV Mobile.
Okay, Joe, that's good. I have DXCC from years ago. I got 100 and something. I mean, there are people out there that have been licensed only a few years. They got over 200 countries. I just really never got heavily involved with that phase of the hobby. There's so many things you get into, you know. I like working on this stuff, especially now, you know, I'm getting older. I like working on the vintage stuff. It gives me a good feeling. All the stuff I couldn't have when I was a kid because I couldn't afford it, I have it now. So, anyway, that's the story. I don't know how much you missed, but what I said was, my lawyer friend, we grew up here in Whitestone. I know him since I'm like 10 or 11 when I moved here to Whitestone. He's doing some work for me. He doesn't want to charge me. So, but he did call me up. He said, listen, he had this WEGA, WEGA, AM/FM shortwave. He picked it up at a, probably at a garage sale. It was crunchy. I cleaned it up. It's working good now. It's really working good. I'm surprised, Joe, all the tubes are good.
Well, I think I might have heard of that. I don't know. Shot of water here. I'm getting off my exit. All right, well, something to do. I've been out sending out a certified letter to a company, and I needed something back. Then I went out to get propane for my gas barbecue. Not going home. Car's going out, but I'm going to, she'll be there for an hour. That's what I'm doing. I finished working on my tower project. We had dinner last night. Just hold on 1 second. Stand by one. I had dinner last night with my old 1575 group. Let's see, 147, 1575. We had a lot of members, and we all had dinner in White Plains. Not all. Some people are no longer around, like WB2EQX. Gone. Passed away up a tree with a Ferrari, and Steve Mendelson's gone. But we had two guys there last night. They flew in from California. Obviously not for that dinner, but they were in town. So that's where I was last night. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Joe, very good. Is that repeater still around? 157?